This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello and welcome to LNG Talks. Collective defined contribution schemes are being hailed as the next big shift in pensions. The appeal is that a well-designed CDC scheme could offer simplified decision-making for members, a higher expected income, and modest year-on-year changes in pensions. They also aim to bring back some of the features of a defined benefit pension without requiring employers to underwrite the risks. Yet none of these benefits come for free. And behind the appeal, there's a crucial question. Are these schemes truly fair across generations? I'm Sharka Hallis, content manager here at LNG, and I'm here with John Southall, head of strategic research in our asset allocation team. Together, we're going to discuss who, in our view, gains from CDC, who carries the risk, and how to potentially strike a fairer balance between younger and older members. John, thank you for being here today. Now, before we dive into this topic, I would love to hear a little bit about your background and more about your work at LNG.
Hi, Sharka. Yes, so my background is in maths. I studied maths at university and earned a PhD in dynamical systems. After that, I trained and qualified as a defined benefit pensions actuary before moving into investments, where I spent many years working across both DB, so defined benefit, and DC, so defined contribution pension schemes. My focus has been on modelling, asset liability management, investment strategy, and related thought leadership. So today, my team and I work on a wide range of areas that include topics like strategic asset allocation, DC accumulation and decumulation, product design and optimization problems. One part of my role is leading the development of our economic scenario generator, which underpins a lot of our analysis, alongside a range of other modelling tools that help us and our clients understand risks and returns and ultimately make better long-term decisions. So although my role is highly quantitative, it's ultimately strategic in nature. And recently, I, as part of a wider working group across LNG, have been looking at CDC pension schemes.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, for listeners who may be less familiar, could you start by explaining exactly what collective defined contribution schemes actually are? And what are the problems that they're trying to solve that traditional DB or DC arrangements do not?
A CDC is a type of pension scheme that essentially blends elements of traditional DB and DC plans. So like DB, contributions, both from the employer and employees, are pooled into a collective fund rather than being held in individual ring-fenced accounts as DC does. And the scheme aims to pay a target income for life, but unlike DB, benefits can go up or down depending on experience. So that's the basic idea in terms of sort of what they are, but there's a lot of complication under the hood, including exactly how benefits are adjusted up and down. I guess in terms of the problem that they're designed to solve, it's kind of a mixture of different features, which kind of links into, I suppose, advantages and disadvantages of CDC schemes versus other pension schemes.
Okay, thank you. So yeah, we'll definitely be getting under the hood of these schemes a little bit further in the podcast. Can you talk a little bit about the advantages that they offer for members?
Yeah, so one of the key advantages of CDC schemes is that members don't have to make complicated decisions themselves. So in DC schemes, they have there's a lot of complication in terms of they need to decide exactly how they're going to invest, how quickly they're going to spend, when do they annuitize, all those sorts of questions. Whereas CDC schemes are a bit more like DB schemes. They're just paid a pension. But unlike DB schemes, it's not a guaranteed one. But that lack of complication is still a major plus. Another potential benefit of CDC schemes is that they tend to invest more heavily in assets with relatively high expected returns, such as equities. And that boosts expected outcomes for members. Now, it incurs greater investment risk, but schemes may use mechanisms to smooth pension payments in the short term. You have to be really careful with this, though, and I'll come back to that point later. Another feature of CDC is longevity pooling. This is essentially members sharing the risk of living longer than expected, which can improve expected outcomes. While annuities available in DC also hedge longevity risk, they don't allow individuals to pursue higher expected returns at the same time. So there are some other advantages of browser. As you said in the introduction, CSD schemes may also appeal to sponsors, given that employers don't underwrite the risks.
Okay, and on the flip side, what are some of the main drawbacks or risks that come with these schemes?
Well, yeah, as I just mentioned, CDC schemes invest more aggressively, which means higher expected returns and higher expected outcomes. And that's really the main driver of some of these expected uplifts versus defined contribution that you might have heard various estimates for. However, there's no escaping that this incurs greater investment risk. Now, CDC's schemes use mechanisms to smooth pension payments in the short term, but that higher investment risk doesn't disappear. Rather, it's effectively transferred rather than pooled or shared, as it's sometimes described, to the longer term. So what essentially happens is investment risk is shifted from older members who get paid in the nearer term to younger members who might not get paid for decades. Now, how does this work? How does it happen? And it basically results from how CDC schemes adjust expected benefits when things don't go as expected. So the way they typically do this is they change what's called the indexation rate of the scheme. So this is the expected rate of pension increases, rather than adjusting all expected payments by the same proportion. Essentially, that kicks the can down the road to a degree when it comes to investment risk. So that's definitely one thing to sort of bear in mind, that there's no free lunch when it comes to investment risk taking. But the wider concern, and possibly the biggest concern people have with CDC schemes, is the potential for intergenerational unfairness, which can stem from several areas. Other things to bear in mind include this longevity pooling that I mentioned. That's great, but the flip side of it is it does reduce death benefits. And there are other pros and cons as well. So it's great that CDC offers a pension without complication, but it doesn't offer the same degree of flexibility that DC does. CDC schemes also face a lot of practical challenges. They require strong governance, careful actuarial oversight, and sufficient scale. And so while they might feel simpler for members, they're generally much more complicated and costly to run than DC schemes are.
Okay, now, John, you mentioned potential intergenerational unfairness. Can you talk about that a little bit more? What's your perspective on it? And is it possible to improve fairness?
Yeah, so this is really a key question that we've researched. In what ways could younger members in CDC schemes be disadvantaged, and how could that potentially be addressed to improve fairness? It's quite a tricky situation talking about fairness in some ways, because different people have different notions of what they mean by fairness. So to make any progress, we need to be clear what we actually mean in this context. This is slightly technical, but in our view, a scheme is fair as if the present value of benefits awarded to a member, when calculated with an appropriate risk-adjusted discount rate, equals the size of the contribution made at that time. And similar ideas apply to other exchanges, such as transfers in or out. But basically, it means that when money is exchanged for expected benefits, the pricing should be appropriate, and it should take into account the risks of the payments that are expected to be paid in the future. Now, in theory, any unfairness, so defined, can be addressed by adjusting the terms of exchange of money for expected benefits. And if priced correctly, the exchange should be fair. Now, that's potentially quite an appealing idea, because it means we might be able to maintain all the positive aspects of CDC without being unfair. Now, some aspects of CDC schemes are much easier to price than others. So a very important aspect to capture to avoid unfairness is what's sometimes called the time value of money. And that just reflects the fact that money today is worth more than the same expected amount in the future, just because there's a positive expected return. So what that means in theory is that the pool should be cheaper, considerably cheaper in some cases, for younger members than older ones. So if a CD scheme has flat accruals, then they kind of work against that and risk creating unfair outcomes. But that's relatively easy to allow for by what's called age-related accruals. So that's really one key aspect of scheme design, if we're aiming for fairness as per our definition. Now, the investment risk transfer that I mentioned earlier adds another sort of layer. Younger members are exposed to more investment risk because of this risk transfer. And so accrual ideally should reflect that through appropriate risk-adjusted assumptions, so essentially higher discount rates. That does add some complication, but it is manageable using standard techniques, provided that the scheme continues to attract new members over time. So that brings us to another risk. So that there is a possibility that new entrants to the scheme slow or stop. Now, if that happens, then younger members will lose the ability to pass risk on as they get older. So once they become older members, they might not have anyone to pass the risk to. So that risk is harder to gauge and is a potential issue. I suppose another one, just to kind of finish off the possible ways that younger people could be disadvantaged, is what's called assumption uncertainty. So, for example, if the actuaries involved underestimate longevity, then younger members may end up bearing the cost of that. And there's a lot of potential ways that younger members could be disadvantaged. And there's ways that, at least for some of those, you could try to correct for that by making sure that the terms that they receive in terms of like how much expected pension they get for their contributions is sufficiently boosted. But one thing we're sort of keen to stress as well is that fairness, as we've defined it, is not the only consideration in scheme design, and simplicity matters too, especially from a member perspective.
So how might a retirement-only CDC work? What are some of the key challenges around these specific types of schemes?
So retirement-only CDC is similar to the whole-of-life CDC scheme, which includes non-pensioners as well as pensioners. But it basically starts from retirement. And what happens is that in exchange for a lump sum, an expected but not guaranteed pension is awarded. Now, as the duration of retirement-only CDC schemes is shorter than whole-of-life, they're generally less able to support as much investment risk taking. And when you think also of the method of adjusting benefits through changing the indexation rate, that's going to be less effective at stabilizing short-term changes in payment levels, just because the duration of the scheme is a lot shorter. So that means that the scheme is unlikely to be able to invest as aggressively as a whole-of-life scheme, and expected uplifts may be more modest as well as a consequence. But apart from that, a lot of the sort of trade-offs are similar to whole-of-life. So, for example, we can still stabilize short-term payment level changes to some degree, but that does come at the expense of greater long-term uncertainty in pension levels. I think one of the key advantages that remains is the ability to pool longevity risk while investing in growth assets, especially because it matters most actually when you're older and the mortality rates are higher. But a lot of the challenges also still exist. So trying to get scale, manage costs. And then another issue as well is that there could be some kind of selection issues. You need to think really carefully about the extent to which different members are offered different terms based on indications of how long they might live. So you might look at things like postcode, biological sex, medical history. So there's essentially a bunch of additional challenges which can be more acute than what you'd see in a whole of life scheme.
Well, this is certainly a complex topic. What are some key takeaways that our listeners can walk away with today?
First takeaway being that CDC potentially offers some benefits and does have some advantages, but there's really no free lunch, and rather they're just trade-offs versus other pension scheme arrangements. The second one would be on this intergenerational unfairness point. So that is a genuine concern for CDC schemes, but there, as I've sort of tried to explain, there are potential ways to try to address that. And also fairness isn't the only consideration, and things like simplicity also matter. And finally, just on retirement CDC schemes, they have similar trade-offs to whole of life schemes, but there just are some additional factors to consider.
Well, thank you for your time, John. You've certainly given our listeners a lot to think about. This is a very complex topic. For those of you who want to learn more, we have an upcoming research paper written by John that further explores CDC schemes. And for our listeners, thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next week with a new episode for you.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us are meant to capture the global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an Alternative Investment Fund Manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.